Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Of course, Donan, you're very welcome. You're into your 23rd year of inter-county football. When you start as a 13-year-old, I guess you're just trying to survive. You probably don't think you're going to be playing 23 years later. Can you even remember that first, second year involved in inter-county football?
Yeah, I certainly can. I kind of barely just remember the first year. I remember kind of my first league match and that. But certainly the next year I do remember, because I would have been playing at under 14, under 16 minor and senior. And I remember particularly of that year, I would have kind of played in an under 16 All-Ireland final and we'd have lost. And the next day, so we played that on a Saturday, and the next day I play in a senior All-Ireland semi-final and lose it after extra time to Laois. And the following week we play in a minor All-Ireland final and lose that as well. So it's three finals within 7 days that we lose them all, very, very closely, all of them. So kind of remember that year. So that was kind of after when I was probably maybe around 14, 14 and a half at the time.
Yeah. How unusual was it then for somebody that young to be starting off at inter-county?
Yeah, it was slightly unusual. There would have been girls young, but maybe not that young. There would have been girls in the panel maybe that were maybe 15, 16 at the time. But it wasn't very unusual. It was probably unusual that I was starting maybe, and probably even then would have been probably one of the main scoring threats from that point of view. You know, you'd have been having high percentages of score. So it's probably unusual from that point of view. But you would have had girls 16, you know, 15, 16 on the panel, but maybe not playing at 13. But yeah, you just kind of survived. I was very small at the time. I didn't really probably grow till I was about 16. So I was small and fast and very light. So yeah, you kind of just was trying to run away and run out of trouble. But yeah, you just got used to it. And, you know, I played a huge amount of football. I was in a school in first year at the time as well, and which were synonymous with ladies football, and would have won five senior All-Irelands in a row and three juniors. So I was in the mix of all that. You know, I'm first year in school, and I got called up to the senior team on the back of our school winning two All-Irelands. Okay. So, you know, you're playing a huge amount of football. You know, I'm playing under 14, 16, minor, senior school, and then you're playing all of that at club.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're just, all you're doing is playing football, really, you know, and trying to go to school on top of it.
And what was it about football that you loved?
I suppose I just loved, I kind of started when I was in primary school at around seven, and I loved all sports, and I, you know, soon recognised I wasn't bad at them. I loved soccer, loved handball, played an awful lot of handball and racquetball and everything, any sport. There are principals, or a principal was really, really into sport and encouraged me to play, even though I was the only girl in the school that played. No one else played.
Was it a mixed school?
It was a mixed school, yeah. So our principal at the time was Arthur Sullivan. His daughter Evie would have won the Rose Trelease, so she'd have been in my class at school. So he just encouraged me to play, and he kind of noticed obviously that I was quite good at it. And I would have have a brother that's only 10 months older than me, so we'd have been in the same class at school. So, and I have a brother that's 11 months younger than me, so the three of us were in junior and friends and senior friends, whatever. Right. So the three of us have been always tipping around at home playing. So it was all of that, and they went off playing with the boys, the under eights, and I decided I'd go with them because there was no girls football, and off I went with them and started playing with the boys then from the age of seven, and, you know, continued playing with them kind of up to the age of under 14. With them, I think I played one or two under 16 matches. And, you know, kind of started girls football then when I was about, you know, 10 or 11. And that was with the typical community games and off to Mosman.
It's kind of a striking image you paint of you being the only girl in the school, really, who's interested in sport. I guess we have come a long way in certain respects in 20,
yeah,
30 years.
Hugely, yeah. And, you know, I think there was me and another girl that, in the whole of the clubs and all, we'd say the five or six primary schools that's around our parish that played football. Yeah, so it's obviously hugely come around and there's been a huge turnaround. But, you know, people often say, where does your skill level come from? And I definitely think that my time that I had exposed with the boys and playing with the boys probably made me a more intelligent footballer and probably more skillful footballer from playing with them. Like, I have said it before, I played with the likes of Alan Dillon. You know, you learn so much from the likes of them, and it definitely makes you a better footballer. And you can see it. You can see with girls that have played football now, and I know a lot of girls now that's in our panel or, you know, on the Cork panel or whatever, that they've played with the lads. You can see the difference. So it's a good stepping stone. And, you know, even now in our club, we'd encourage the girls to play at the lads team. They can play up to under 12 now,
right,
and then they have to step across, but they can play both to 12. So we'd always encourage them to go both because, you know, it's probably a little bit quicker and it develops their skills a lot better.
And in your experience, physically, up until, say, that age,
yeah, it's
comparable,
fine.
It's
yeah,
fine.
Physically okay. Up to probably under 12, probably under 14. After that, you do have to stop it because physically you're growing at a different rate. But certainly, up to under 12, it's certainly well able. Like, under 14, I would have found no problem with
right.
it. But I can see why they try and maybe stop it after that. Because depending on how you're physically developed, but also like depending on your skill level, like
sure.
you can be well, you mightn't be well developed, but you could have massive skill level. You know, when I was playing, no boys would want to mark you.
I was just going to say, how do it's very self-conscious 11, 12 year old male boy defenders take to being taken to the cleaners?
No, they didn't like it. Like, obviously, first of all, if they didn't know about you, they were like, oh, they'd laugh and think, oh, I'm marking a girl, it was fine. But then maybe a couple of minutes later and you've scored a couple of goals, then they don't want to mark you. But by the time, you know, you became a name then, so they knew you. They certainly didn't want to mark you, yeah.
Yeah. The name of the principal again?
Art O'Sullivan, yeah.
What a great man to spot. You love this very positive thing and
yeah.
to encourage you and, you know. And
yeah, he was a great man in our primary school. He encouraged sport all the time. We were gone playing sport, everything. Like, we played every sport, indoor soccer, rounders, handball, racquetball. We played everything. Any sport that we could play, we were off playing. And he just obviously, you know, I'm sure was with any other girl if they wanted to play.
Yeah, sure.
But he encouraged us and he brought us off to everything. And I suppose that's where my passion came from it. And then growing up with boys at home, I suppose, you know, and it's amazing. None of them, they all played a bit, you know, up to maybe under 16 level. But none of my family now, I have a big family. I've four brothers and three sisters. None of them play, only me. So that's,
Wow. You
know, that's a bit strange as well. Now, they all played when they were younger, but none of them continued to play into their late teens.
Right, okay. And so you realise, I'm not bad at this, and you're kind of thrust into inter-county football, 13 years old. It's really amazing. And success with Mayo comes relatively early. By 2003, you're 21 years old. So you've nearly been playing for a decade, as strange as that is. But you're 21 years old, and you've just won your fourth All-Ireland with Mayo. And you must be thinking at 21, the next decade is going to be very, very sweet. We've got to, you know, this is just the way things are.
Yeah, definitely. And like, looking back, actually, it's mad. I was having a chat to our former manager last night on the phone on the way up to Dublin, Finbar Egan, and I wouldn't have chatted him in a long time. And just having a chat to him. And like, he was the guy that had brought us to the five All-Irelands and won four, and who would have left in 2004. And again in 2004, we got to an All-Ireland semi-final. We went to a replay and then went to extra time. So we're that close again in 2004. So he'd have left. And then in the next 5 years, so from 2005 to 2010, I think we'd seven or eight different managers. And in 2010, then our county board pulled us out of championship. So the talent was there, but the structures were never in place in the county. So
right.
the talent was there. So, you know,
mismanaged effectively.
Yeah, exactly. Mismanaged. But the talent was there. Like, we had people who had four All-Ireland medals and they were younger than me. And we had girls that were coming through. Myself and my teammate, Yvonne Byrne, we had just gone out of minor. We were 19. So we would have managed our minor county team with the help of Finbar, our manager, in 2004. They'd have got to a minor All-Ireland final. We'd have lost to the Cork great team, who had 13 of that minor team that went on to win numbers of All-Irelands.
Yeah.
We lost them in a minor All-Ireland that year. So all them girls were coming through, but everything was just mismanaged. And it's been well documented, 2010 that comes and then we're pulled out of championship. And,
Yeah. You
know, there was a lot of kind of stuff that went on in them periods that if it was managed at all well, I do think Mayo could have won more and challenged Cork.
It certainly
more
sounds
in
like
area.
Even the turnover of managers. I hadn't realised
Yeah. You'd
gone through that many managers. Are those managers being relieved of their duties? Or are they walking away because they're not happy with the county board? Or what's going on?
A lot of the time when they come in, they just weren't fit for post. So they were just being picked, but, you know, they weren't, you know.
Was there an element of it's just the ladies' team? We can
yes, exactly, there? Exactly.
Right.
And we were used to such high standards. We had a guy that had us, you know, that's definitely, well, like, things have moved on in sport. That was the most professional time of my life between 99 and 2004, the training that we'd done. Now, training has moved on to a different level. But
sure.
We never trained as hard. I've never trained as hard in them 6 years. You dread going to training.
Yeah.
So you'd train on a Wednesday and you would spend Thursday worrying about Friday training and you'd spend Saturday worrying about Sunday training because
Yeah. It
was so physically hard. But he was at a level of professionalism back there that's now within teams, but he was 10 years ahead of his game.
Yeah.
So when we had managers then that came in 2005, 2006, there were levels below him. So we were used to a huge level of professionalism. And, you know, I suppose that didn't mix well with the players.
No, I can imagine the frustration.
Yeah. So, and then girls, you know, the girls dropped off. They were frustrated with what was happening. And like, even within that period from 2005, 2006, we got back to an All-Ireland in 2007. Yeah. But even in them periods, we lost 2005 and 2006. We were losing to Cork by point in a semi-final.
Yeah.
So we weren't far away. Even in 2008 and 2009, we were still very close. Maybe for a few years after that.
Yeah.
You know,
so even with the poor preparation,
exactly,
the talent you had was still very close.
Very close. We're like, it wasn't that we were far away. We're very, very close.
And
it's frustrating. And when you look back at it, yeah, you look back at it in times where it was probably all Ireland that we could have won if you know we were managed it all a little bit better on a county board kind of structure.
Was it serious enough that, you know, you would strike me even at 21, 22, 23 to have been a leader, the tallies woman of the team, to go to the county board and say, we're not getting the quality of management we had before. Did you try and have those conversations?
Oh yeah, we had many a conversation. It's well documented in 2010, like, you know, we were myself and probably Yvonne Byrne, who's still playing, and a few more were being called the troublemakers, the ones that were causing all the problems.
Right.
Where we just wanted standards, you know. We'd managers that would come in and just, we'd have one manager and that he'd manage everything. He'd be our coach, he'd be our trainer, he'd be everything. And we weren't used to that.
Yeah.
You know, we were used to higher levels. So yeah, of course you're going to challenge people, you know. Instinctively you're that type of person. You're not going to just go to training and, you know, have standards that are really low and you know that's not good enough to win.
What was the county board response generally?
Oh, very, very negative towards us. And it was that we were trying to, you know, run the team and all of that. But we were just looking for certain standards. And, you know, it was very poor. You know, there was a very poor relationship between us, you know.
Hmm.
You know, even in 2010, we were pulled out of championship, yeah, which was a crazy decision. We'd have gone off and trained ourselves as a group.
Why exactly did they do that?
Because they said that, the team were causing trouble and they got to try to get rid of their manager in 2010, yeah, which we didn't. We just said we wanted these things in place,
yeah,
and they just, you know,
they pulled you out completely.
Pulled us out completely, and then my own club and two other clubs appealed it, and then we got back into championship. Right. We were out of the Connacht championship. We just got back into the All Ireland series, but at this stage we'd no manager, we'd no preparation, don't know any of the bit we were doing ourselves. So.
Yeah, not to state the obvious, but if it was the men's team, .. you would have been treated a whole lot better.
Yeah, well, yeah, we would, you know. In fairness, you know, even media-wise, and especially local media, I couldn't ever say enough about good things about them. They've always been, have our back and tried to do as much as they can for us. But certainly, yeah, at times, you know, people say, why didn't you walk away then? Like, you'd won your medals, or why didn't you head off to America for the summer, or, you know, go travelling, or whatever it is that you do at that age.
Mm.
But I suppose, you know, there's a stubbornness probably in us. You know, people are trying to push you out from football. That's 7 years ago, trying to stop you from playing football, push you away. So you say to yourself, you know, I'll go on my terms. I'll go when I want to go. I won't be pushed out by anyone. Mm. And, you know, I always wanted to leave football when Mayo football is in a good place. You don't want to leave it in a bad place. You want to, you know, it to be thriving and to be doing well. And, you know, that's what we always wanted. And, yeah, thankfully over the last couple of years, we've managed for the last 3 years, it's there with us. You know, there's good structures in place, you know, so we hope when the older girls do leave that the structure's in place and the team will flourish.
Yeah. So I would presume then the last 2, 3, 4 years have been enjoyable again.
Yeah, very enjoyable. Like, there's nothing like going to training and just turning up and doing your training and going home and, you know, worrying about the next training and worrying about yourself. And there's nothing better going to training and being challenged that's by your trainer, by your coach.
Mm.
You know, even though I've been playing for so long and I'm 35 now, I still need to be challenged to train and I need to be, you know, told when I'm doing right or wrong, or, you know, I need to try and impress our manager, I need to try and impress our coach, I need to be learning.
Mm.
You know, okay, I'm not probably going to learn as much as a 17 or 18 year old, but, you know, I can make myself 5 or 10% better. So even now I'm trying to do that all the time, but you only can be doing that when you're challenged as a footballer. And, you know, certainly over the last 3 years, you know, I've been challenged both physically and mentally, and, you know, even, you know, within trying to change my own game. You know, it's very difficult to change the habits that you might have of a lifetime, but you're trying to do it. So, you know, that's why I'm still enjoying it. If I wasn't enjoying it, and there was probably periods in that time that I spoke about that, yeah, I didn't enjoy, but as I said, I was only ever going to walk away, and I'll only ever walk away on my own terms. I won't ever be pushed, or I'll make my own decision.
It would have left a sour taste to walk away in the midst of all that as well. You want to ideally walk away with an All-Ireland, or, you know, with, as you said, with things thriving. You're into year 23. I've seen you say, I didn't want to finish up either being just a bit part player, that you want, if you're coming back for another year, it's to really play a role. And you've done that for people who've been keeping a casual eye on the championship. Mayo lost to Galway in the Connacht final. You've had some back trouble and you've come back the qualifier route. You played against Kildare, scored 111. You've beaten this great Cork team in the semi-final. You scored 109 that day. So you seem in the face of it to be in really good form, playing well, and thus far the season has gone well. Is that a fair kind of summation of 2017?
Yeah, I suppose with the Connacht final, I would have played in the Connacht final, but I would have played with, you know, probably missing a lot of training. I normally don't miss training, and I've played with quite a bad back injury.
You missed 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I missed 3 or 4 weeks in the build-up, and that wouldn't be normal. So I you know, I played it, but obviously I wasn't, you know, 100% fit, right, but I was always going to play it. So then we went on and, you know, looked at ourselves and looked how we needed to change after that very poor performance. And we were favourites going into that game after winning the year previous. So we're very disappointed. But, you know, we have to say, do we just want to go into an All-Ireland qualifier route now and just go through the motions, or do we really want to give it a shot? So I think it was a bit of an attitude shift within the team. And from then, I think that's the turning point for a season. We went on, played okay against Kildare. Then we played the Donegal team. They were very fancied to go on and win the All-Ireland this year. They were favourites along with Cork. So that was a big turning point. Bet them and kind of bet them well in the end, and had a great performance, the team, that day. And then against Cork, obviously going against Cork, you know, and it's well documented how great Cork are and how much respect we'd have them for them as a team. So that's been another huge turning point for us this year. Yeah, so the year has been going well, you know, but you're looking to improve again. You know, there's probably a little bit more pressure on you every time. Every time you have a good performance, there's more pressure on you to go out and have that performance day in, day out. So, you know, I try not to let that get to me. I'm probably, over the years, I've got used to it. You know, probably got used to being double marked and maybe triple marked at times. So, you know, that takes getting used to.
How does being triple marked work?
To come to a couple of club games. Yeah.
Quadruple marked at club games,
I'd say. You can. You know, most games I go out to now, you're being marked and you've a sweeper standing in front of you. It's probably been happening. That's been happening for well over 10 years now. So it becomes
used to. Along the lines of the male game
as well. Yeah, exactly. So without a shadow of a doubt, you know, I'm giving someone on our team probably a free role, and which is a great thing, a great benefit to the player. I suppose I look at it now, you know, at 35 and you're still being double marked is a bit of a compliment.
Yeah.
At times, I suppose when I was younger and it was happening, I was probably got easily frustrated and, you know, found it difficult and had to try and manage it and deal with it. You know, as I've got older now, it probably riles me on a bit, and it's a good thing. But yeah, you just get used to it. It's so normal now. It's, you know, it's nothing different to me. You know, and obviously it's a good thing, you know, for our team at a point of view, that if we have a spare defender or a spare midfielder or whatever. You know, but yeah, you get used to it. You know, and you know, there's pressure on you every day you go out. You know, there's pressure on you to have big digits behind your name, you know, when you go out. People, that's the first thing people look at. But, you know, once we get a performance out of the team, I don't care if I score nothing or I score at all. Once you're getting the victories, it doesn't matter who's doing that.
Yeah. So it's Dublin. Dublin beat Mayo by a point. There was a late free kick last year in the semi-final. That's a kind of crushing moment. It's Mayo's first All-Ireland final since 2007 for reasons we've discussed. What kind of game will Mayo-Dublin be?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, obviously, you know, I think it's going to be an open off game of football.
Right.
I think we're quite similar, as in, you know, we'd be both quite athletic. We'd be physically strong teams. Obviously, Dublin are the form team this year. You know, they've a bit like their men. You know, they've won a lot of their matches, most of their matches at a canter, kind of.
I should tell people they beat Kerry in the semi final. The scoreline was 5-10 to 11 points.
Yeah.
That's
dominant. And if you look through their other matches, Waterford a couple of weeks previous in the quarter final, it's pretty much of a similar score.
Okay.
And their whole Leinster Championship has been bigger scores than that. So, yeah, they're like their men. They've been going through the season doing very, very well, getting big scores. You know, some very, you know, top forwards in the game, you know, they have, and obviously some excellent defenders as well. So we know we're up against it. You know, they're going into their fourth All-Ireland in a row. Okay, not winning any of them, but, you know, they've huge experience. You know, we're different. We've probably 4 or 5 girls that are experienced that have been in All-Ireland finals. The rest of them haven't. So it's a huge occasion. Probably the big plus for us this year is that, you know, ladies football played our Dublin Mayo League match back in March in Croke Park. We got to play before the Dublin men, which is a big plus for us because all of our girls got the whole Croke Park factor out of their heads, which has been, looking back now, it's a big plus, because if you're going to Croke Park and it's All-Ireland final day, you know, Croke Park becomes a big thing, but they've got that out of their system. So which, in a way, when you look back, it's been a plus for us. But yeah, it's, you know, we're under no illusions again. We're going in as massive underdogs. You know, the Dubs are a brilliant team. Obviously, new management this year. very ironic, the same management that was there in 2003 when we bet them with a last minute goal. So, you know, we know what we're up against. We're up against a huge battle, but all we can focus on is our own performance, you know, trying to get our performance right, getting the heads girls right. And, you know, most of our performance are just based on working really hard for each other. And whatever you can give, if it's 50 minutes, if it's 60 minutes, whatever, you work really hard. So we've been working on that since the Cork game, and we will be for the next 10 days working on that. And I'm sure Dublin are doing the same. But I do see it's going to be a very open game. I don't think there'll be much between the two of us.
Okay. It would be a fifth senior title for you. There have been All-Ireland club titles as well down the years. So it hasn't been like the last 10, 15 years hasn't been without huge success as well. You've been a household name for a very, very long time. I mean, you're still, realistically, you're still the first GAA player in ladies football that people know and recognise. Away from GAA, life is 9-to-5 job, Castlebar. Probably fairly ordinary stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So yeah, I would have been working two jobs. Really, I work with the HSC and Traveller Health, so that's kind of my 9-to-5 job. But I was also working with Sky Sports on a Living for Sports program. So it was going around to secondary schools and telling secondary school kids your story as a sports person and trying to inspire them and trying to, you know,
not have one girl in the class playing.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to just inspire them and just, you know, it doesn't have to be sport, but just inspire them in life and just tell them, you know, challenges that you might have gone through life, losing people, injury, stuff like that. So I've been doing that two types of work there. So that's been very difficult because the Sky jobs, a lot of it's on the road. Obviously, it's school based, so it's the terms that you're based in that. So that's very difficult. And then, you know, obviously you're doing a lot of stuff, you know, sport related that you're asked to do a lot of the time, whether it's, you know, I got a lot to ask to take a lot of training sessions, medal presentations, all of that. So your time is taken up. I'm not one for sitting down watching television or having taken too much time. You know, I need my spare time. You know, I've 10 nieces and nephews. It's normally spent bringing them to the cinema or bringing them to the playground or something like that. That's how I unwind. But, you know, I'm the type of person, I'm very passionate about my club. So I'll attend club training every week. You know, we'll have club training tomorrow night. I'll be there. I'll tag. I'll do a bit. So you have to, you know, have to keep your club going. We're lucky enough. We've 8 girls on the Mayo team. So that's a huge proportion out of your club senior team. So I'll make sure we'll go and encourage the girls there. Mightn't take fully part in training, but you're there to support them, because when the All Ireland final will be over in a couple of weeks' time, we're straight into club championship. You know, and you know, we got to an All Ireland semi final last year. Got defeated, so you know we're hoping to get back to winning another county title, another Connacht title, and maybe progressing further than the All Ireland semi final. So you have aspirations there, and you can't let them girls down. You know, they're where you start and where you'll finish, and you owe them a lot as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, no, you never struck me as the couch potato type. I have to say, somehow. A last point, and you referenced there losing people, and we did a Facebook chat with Alan Brogan, and just, you know, like a random question comes in about superstitions, and you just mentioned in a very matter-of-fact way, well, on the morning of a game, I will always visit my mother's grave. And it wasn't the place in a Facebook Live to really chat about it, but you, like most sports people, we watch play, we never really think about, God, I presume you're one of many players who would visit a parent's grave on the morning of a game and would be kind of carrying that stuff with you.
Yeah,
is your mother dead a long time?
Yeah, my mom's dead. My mom died when I was 16, so she'd be 18 years dead, just gone in July. It's a difficult time. Yeah, it's a
life changer.
Yeah, and again, a time where maybe I, you know, would have give up sport and give up football for a couple of months, which would be, you know, and
following her death,
and kind of got quite angry after it, and you know, was angry at sport because I was away from home a lot of the time because I was playing so much sport. So
as in, so I didn't get to spend as much.
Yeah,
time
exactly. I was gone. I was playing so much. I was gone to football every evening in the week. So you wouldn't have been at home that much. So that type, I suppose, it's just you're dealing with grief and you're angry, whatever. And you know, again, it's down to good people that I would have, the good coaches, so the likes of my friends Yvonne, the likes of the Fimbers, and you know, other my club coaches, Jimmy and Beatrice, and all my club friends. These people used to call to my house and eventually drag me to football, and I was like, I wouldn't go, and then I'd go and just stand and not have any interest in watching matches. But eventually I got the interest back again. It was only because they were there and they brought me back, you know, so a couple of months after I would have gone back playing. But it was, yeah, obviously it's a difficult period in anyone's life, no matter what age you are. And it's just,
was it sudden?
No, she would have been sick. So when I started in first year of school, she'd have been diagnosed with cancer, and she would have kind of battled it maybe for 3.5-ish years.
Right.
So, you know, in the middle of first year would have kind of happened. So, yeah, it was a difficult period, is it, Annie's life and anyone's life. Yeah, we've girls on our team, you know, that have lost parents previously and, you know, on our team now. So, you know, that's life. And
I can sort of see the dilemma. Do I spend all this time away from
home? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But, at the end of the day, I owe sport so much because sport keeps you. You know, you can go down many paths in life. And, you know, I was lucky that I had sport, you know, maybe going down a wrong path at that stage. I had sport to kind of put me back on it and, you know, drag me down the right path again and the right people, you know. And like when I go around schools with Sky, you know, kids will ask you that them type of questions. But, you know, what's the best thing about winning, you know, sport? Is it playing in Croke Park? Is your All-Ireland medal? What's the best thing you've done? Is it you get to travel the world and you get All-Star trips and all that? And I said, yeah, they're all great. But like what sport has given me is, you know, I have a huge bunch of friends and a huge unit of friends that, you know, I wouldn't have had if I played sport. And we have so much in common. And, you know, when retirement comes, whenever it is, you know, you'll still have them bunch of friends. We've been together. We've been through thick and thin. You know, bad times, good times, up and downs, whatever. So you'll still have them. And it's like with your club. It'll always be there. Even when you finish playing, you'll be involved in some way. So, you know, you've met people in life and sport that I've met, even from other counties, that you'll always be friends with. Like as I talked about Fimber, our manager from years ago. I haven't talked to that man in probably a year. But I spent an hour and 10 minutes on the phone to him last night, like I was only talking to him 2 days ago. Do you know what I mean?
It's a deep bond.
It's a deep bond. Yeah. It's the thing you'll always have in common, and that you can, no matter where you'll go, you'll always meet someone. So that's the biggest thing sport will ever give you. Yeah, you want to play in Croke Park and you want to win your All-Ireland medals. They're certainly, you know, what you look at. But that's what you play sport for the big days. But realistically, when it's all over and done, your All-Ireland medals are there, they're in the attic somewhere. You talk about the memories that you've had with all these people.
That story you tell about your friends showing up at the house and saying, come on, we're dragging you to the field, I don't want to go, we're still going to keep going.
Yeah.
Liam Hayes was in the station a couple of weeks ago and his brother passed away very suddenly on the field, actually, on the GAA field. And Colm O'Rourke would call to the house and say, we're going. Mm-hmm. And dragged him, you know, and Liam sort of said, well, like what Colm O'Rourke did kind of saved my life in a way, you know.
Yeah.
That story came into my head when you were.
Yeah, well, like it is like I would have, and I'd have like very good club managers that have, you know, in them times that have looked after you. You're only young, like you're only 16 and you're going through teenage years anyway, so it's difficult enough. And then you just, they'll come and they look after you. And I'm, you know, they're still looking after me now, even though I don't probably need as much looking after, but they're still, you know, there's always people looking after you. And I suppose that has done full circle. Now now it's my turn to look after the younger girls in the team and bring them along and, you know, guide them and bring them to train and you know, give them money or whatever it is. You know, you're called the mammy of the team and that's your role now within the team. But you'd hope that in a few years' time they'll do that for someone else that's coming through.
Yeah.
So it's gone a full circle. That's the way it should do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm friends, you know, sometimes you look at yourself and you go, like, I have friends in the team that I'm best friends with, they're 21. They're 14 years younger than me.
People you'd never be friends with otherwise.
Of sport. Yeah. But now, like, you know, and that's where sport keeps you young. Like, okay, I'm 35. I probably feel about 45 at times. But I probably feel about 20 or 21. They keep you young and, you know, you've great fun with them and, you know, great enjoyment with them. And, you know, there's just a matter. Age is a matter when it comes to sport. You have such interaction. Everyone that's there, with the youngest in our team is probably 17 to the oldest in our team that's 35. You know, and there's that generation of a gap between them, but it doesn't matter. We're all just individuals when it comes together and we all come together collectively for the love of sport.
Yeah, I know I'm not meant to be biased, but I think I speak for a lot of people when I say I do hope you win your fifth All-Ireland medal on the 24th against Dublin. If a 24th year at inter-county level beckons, then why the hell not? Of course, Dalton, thanks so much.
No bother at all. You're very welcome.
Off the Ball on Newstalk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.